Okay, we're starting at the very, very, very bottom of Kaf Zayin Amud Bet. Quickly read our Refu Och Limod, Devar Abadina, Ozar Ram Shimon Ben Chana, Karmit Ben Ima, Orli Panina, Bat Rachel Frida, Chaya Malka, Esther Bat Zipporah, Daniel Ben Miriam, Chaya Rut. Okay, we're starting with the Gemara. We had a whole bunch of different Mishnayot, right? Different sections of different Rashot. We started with the sota of the ubau, right? Kishem shasura labal, kach asura laboel. Okay, so now the Mishnah starts like this. If you look back at the beginning of the Mishnah, kishem shamayim bodkin ota, kach hamayim bodkin oto. Shenemar ubau. Sorry, that was the first drasha, right? That just like the water checks, so the water checks him. So we explained it already based on the conclusion of the Gemara, which is obviously we're talking about the Bo'el and not the Baal. But the Gemara wants to establish that first. Because the Gemara says, first of all, Oto Leman. Who's the Oto? E Lema La Baal. In other words, maybe it's like a standoff between, right, the Mayim checks her or checks him. It's almost like they're suggesting that maybe if the husband brought her when he shouldn't have, maybe, right? You like that thought? That maybe he should, because otherwise, what's the, right? Maybe he should get a punishment. So they say, unfortunately, the Gemara doesn't think that that's an option, but they suggest it. Otoliman, ilema la ba'al, if you want to say it's for the husband, ba'al my avi, what did he do wrong? Now, we obviously think he did something wrong by suspecting his wife falsely. But the Gemara says, let's put it this way, he certainly shouldn't get killed for that, right? Because even if you say, like, let's say, I'm just thinking in my head, let's say you take the concept of kashir zamam, right? What's kashir zamam? Eid zomem, right? Eid zomem, what's his punishment? You bring someone falsely, right? You lie about someone in court. You get the same thing you tried to do to them. Now, in theory, maybe you could say that that's what's going on here. The one problem with that is, he never would have gotten her killed according to the Torah narrative, because she would only have gotten killed if she really was guilty. So it's not like he ever, in theory, could have gotten her killed. However, so therefore, maybe he's not deserving of death.
But this also isn't just any false accusation. This is a whole...
Right. This is more than just... Exactly. As you're pointing out, it's more than just a false accusation. It's definitely imputing her character. It's making her look, you know, very, very...
And subjective is an awful lot of unpleasant things, even if she doesn't...
Yes, exactly. Right. But all those things wouldn't... bring us to death penalty. What's interesting, unfortunately, is that they don't mention that maybe some other penalty should come his way. You know, in the end, his wife gets pregnant with his baby, and it's almost like he gets a reward in the end for, you know, after he falsely accuses her, he gets a child. But anyway, at least the Gemara suggests it, right? But then they say, no, it can't possibly be. He didn't do anything wrong that would get him the death penalty. The chi tema di'it be'avon. Maybe it's a case where he has an avon. Remember, what's that case? Where he slept with her after she was nistira. It doesn't even have to be on the way. So then, di'it be'avon bad kelemaya. Maybe then, and ki'it be'avon b'di. So then they say, no, it can't possibly be, because ki'it be'avon b'didemi bad kelemaya. You can't say that in that case where he slept with her, the waters are going to check him, but they won't check his wife. And as we already said, that the waters don't work for her in the case where he slept with her after she'd gone in hiding with the other man. So therefore, if it's not going to work for her, it's certainly not going to work for him. It wouldn't make any sense. So therefore, that can't be the case. So now, in other words, they're trying to find that the husband did maybe something wrong that was worthy of death, but clearly that's not the case. So in the end, they say, ve'ela la bo'el, it must be for the bo'el. But then they say, if it's the bo'el, why was the Mishnah, well, the Gemara motivated not to think it was the bo'el? Because litnei kedikatane seifa, then they should have said the bo'el, just like it appears in the seifa, which is really the next line. Kishem shasura labal, kach asura labo'el. Should have mentioned him explicitly by name. So then they say, no, la'olam labo'el. It still could be labo'el. V'resha, I did tana ota, tane oto. Seifa, I did tana ba'al, tana bo'el. Okay, they're saying the Mishnah is a literary book, and it was written literarily, so therefore, If it says, Kashem Shamayim Bodkin Ota, which they use the word Ota, so therefore they're going to say, Kachamayim Bodkin Oto. But when they say, Kashem Shasura La Baal, they're going to say, Oh, Kachasura La Boal. They're going to call him by name because they call the Baal by name. But when they called her using a pronoun, they called him using a pronoun. Okay. Now, where did they learn it from? From the words Uvau Uvau. Okay, now we're going to see this inside. Shenemar Uvau Uvau. Okay, let's look for a minute in the psukim. Which Uvau Uvau? Okay, this seems to be, okay, we're going to see, there's two different options really, because there's three times Uvau comes up. Okay, Uvau appears in Pasuk, I underlined to make it easier on the sheet. Uvau appears in Pasuk Kaf Bet, and it appears in Pasuk Kaf Dalet, and it appears in Pasuk Kaf Zayin. Okay, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, the context is the Shvu'ah. He makes her swear in Pasuk Kaf Aleph. In Kaf Bet, then it says, and the waters will come into you. Let's bo bet and v'lam pil yerach. And then she answers, amen, amen. Then it says what actually happens, right? And then he makes the woman drink in Pasuk Kaf Dalet, uba uba hamayim hamarim lemarim. And then they come inside her. And then it appears again, when it says, Vihishkat hamayim v'hayayim nitme'ah, in other words, and if she's really guilty, then the waters will cause this reaction. We talked already about the repetition, because here the hishka comes after the mincha, and one hishka was before the mincha, and what's going on, and what's the order. So we discussed what to do with all the extra ones. But we didn't discuss these words, uvau uvau. So first I'm going to talk about the fact that it appears twice. Probably, I assume they're talking about Kaf Bet and Kaf Dalet. So now they're going to say, now they want to know. Remember we said it had this nitma'ah, vinitma'ah? And there were two approaches. One said, Rabbi Akiva said it's nitma'ah, vinitma'ah. It's one word, because what did we say? Nitma'ah appears six times in the psukim, right? There were six times that the word nitma'ah appeared. And Rabbi Akiva, right, we said the other ones we're not dealing with because they use them to darshan other things. But we had the nitma'ah. And Rabbi Akiva said, because it says vinitma'ah, that implies two things. The vav adds an additional thing. And the other opinion was Rabbi, who said, no, it's from the word nitma'ah and from the word vinitma'ah. The fact that it appears multiple times in the parsha, we don't, okay, well, basically, when we're going to see this more inside today, Rabbi doesn't darshan vavim, right? Whether you say that a vav means we're adding a whole additional thing or not. So now they're going to have the same question here. Okay? So they say, Uvau uvau kamar, bau uvau kamar. Is it saying? Because the pasuk says, just take, let's say, pasuk kafet. Uvau hamayim hamarim ha'ele, ma'arim ha'elu. So we darshaning the fact that it has a vav, and the vav adds also him. Or, oh, uvau uvau kamar. Or is it two uvaus? Okay? Now, remember for a minute, who's saying this drasha in our Mishnah? Rabbi Akiva. Okay? And Rabbi Akiva was the one who darshins vavs. Okay? So now they say, Tashma, Kishem Shasura, but only we're only going to get to that at the very end, okay? So now they're going to say, let's learn it from here. Kishem Shasura Labal, Kachasura Laboel, Shanemar, Nitma'ah, Vin Nitma'ah. Okay, so they're saying, oh, we can learn it from there, because there it says, Nitma'ah, Vin Nitma'ah, which means we darshin vavin, just like that. And therefore, it must be Bau Uvau, and not the two times it says it, but actually the one reference. But then they say, no, Adayin Tibai, we could still ask the question, Nitma'ah v'nitma'ah kamar, or Nitma'ah v'nitma'ah kamar. And is it Nitma'ah, Nitma'ah? In other words, okay, even if it's v'nitma'ah, okay, the Vach switches it. It's Nitma'ah in one pasuk, and Nitma'ah in another pasuk. Or is it nitma'ah v'nitma'ah with the additional vav? And it's not clear. It's obvious what they mean here, even though it's not clear from the words, because it's the same words. Okay, so now, is it from the vav, or is it from the fact that it's multiple times? So they say, no. Right, now remember, they're referring, it's a very strange question, because they're referring to Rabbi Akiva, who was clear from the Mishnah that he was darshaning the vav. How do we know it was clear? And this is what Gemara is going to say now in a second. It's clear because Rebbe appears there and disagrees with him. So obviously, we learn from there that Rebbe Kibbutz Darshan Vavim. Okay, so first they're kind of raising it as a question. They're kind of throwing up in the air things that we already know and then answering them.
It's like writing a checklist and putting down the things you've already done. So you
can right, okay, good comparison. Tashma mi dekasani seifa. Let's learn it from the seifa of that Mishnah. Rebbe Omer, shnei pa'amim amurim b'parsha, vin nitma'ah. Here he says it explicitly. Because it appears two times, Vinitma, vinitma. Therefore, echad labal ve'echad laboel. Michlal, from here you can infer, to Rabbi Akiva, vav kadarish. Hilka, okay? And therefore, Rabbi Akiva's darshan vavim, and therefore Rabbi Akiva by us, when he says uvau, uvau, isn't referring to what we thought from the beginning, two times that it appears, but he's darshaning bau and uvau. He's darshaning the vavim. Hilkach le Rabbi Akiva shita krai. Now we see that according to Rabbi Akiva, there's really six psukim ktivi. Okay, here it doesn't mean six actual, right? The word uva'u, what did I show you before? If you see in the underlines, it appears in pasuk kaf bed, it appears in pasuk kaf dalid, and it appears in pasuk kaf zayin. So we have uva'u three times. But we have it with a vav. So Rabbi Akiva darshins, what does he darshin? Six drashot from these three words. Okay, now we're going to have to see what are the six drashot he darshins from these three words. Okay, at this point, by the way, you have that, okay, we're going to have Rabbi Akiva darshin six, okay, and Rabbi's only going to darshin three, because he only has the, right, he doesn't darshin vavim, so it's just, I mean, I'll write it like this, but sort of the vav is in parentheses, right, we almost ignore the vav, it's not relevant, it's just three. Okay, so now, what does Rabbi Akiva say? Chad, okay. Chad litzava'a dida. One is the commandment for her to drink the waters. Okay, where does that come? That's actually the last one. V'hishka tamayim v'aitam nitma'a v'tim'o mal b'isha uva uva hamayim hararim. It's like a tzivuy, right? If this is what happens to her and she's really nitma'a, then the waters will come into her. V'chad litzava'a dida. And the vav there adds that it's also for the man. Okay? Chad la'asiya dida, v'chad la'asiya dida. That's pasuk kaf dalet, when she actually does it. Okay? V'hishka et ha'isha et me ha'mayim ha'ma'arim. Uva uva ha'mayim ha'arim. This is, she actually does it. One is a command to her, and then to him. The second is the actual doing of it. Okay? It's interesting that it's actually the flip order of the way it appears in the pasukim. Okay? And then, obviously, we're going to darshan v'chad la'asiya dida, that he also has to drink the waters, right? Which is weird, because according to this, he's actually drinking the waters. But I don't think, right, even if, right, actually, we didn't really think about this, but the assumption I always thought was that it affects him, but not that he's actually doing it. But this is a little difficult, because it seems to say that he's actually drinking the waters. I know, we have to look into that. Okay, v'chali yidia dida. Okay, I'm going to, one second, I'm writing that down. But it sounds from here like he actually drinks the waters wherever he is, right? We talked about that. He's obviously not in the mikdash at this point. But I don't know. We'll see. Okay, you have to look that up. But okay, the other one is for her to know about what's going to happen. Okay, so if you look there, where is that? In Pasuk Kafalif. V'shbiya kohen et ha'isha v'shvuat ha'ala. V'amar kohen li'isha yiten ha'shem otach la'ala v'shvuat b'toch ha'mech. V'teit ha'shem yirechech nofelet. Uva, etc. Uva ha'mayim ha'mirim ha'ele. Now this he's telling her so that she knows what's going to happen. Okay? It's preparing her. So in other words, one is a command, right? One is she has to do the actual doing of it. And the third is she has to have knowledge that this is going to happen to her. Okay? Obviously the knowledge is important because we want her not to do it, right? We want her to be smart enough to admit beforehand if she really is guilty. And then they say, obviously, v'chad li'idia dida, okay? And one is that he needs to know also to understand. Okay, so Rabbi Akiva darshins these three, each for a different aspect, sivoy, yidia, asiya, and yidia. And then, kaful shtayim, right? Doubled for the man. The Rebbe, tzlatzakrai k'tivi. What does Rebbe do? He doesn't darshan vavim, so he only has three, not six. Chal l'tzava'a, chal l'asiya, v'chal l'yidiya. Okay, just one for the tzivoy, one for the asiya, one for the yidiya, presumably of the woman, and not of the man. So now they say, wait a minute, so does Rebbe, you know, what does he do, where does he learn that the man is also part of this? Okay, the bo'el. The Rebbe, k'shem shamayim bodkin otach, kach bodkin oto minale. Where does he get it from? So first of all, the working assumption of this Gemara is, it's not that he disagrees with that. Okay, because remember, the whole Kshem Shamayim Botkin Otah Kach Hamayim Botkin Otah was all Rabbi Akiva. Right? That was the drasha of Rabbi Akiva. The assumption is that Rebbe holds the same thing. It's not that he disagrees, okay, which is interesting. You might have thought some people would say, oh, well, the man doesn't get punished. Right? But no, he thinks the man gets punished, but he obviously must learn it from somewhere else. So where does he get it from? Nafkale miditanya latzvot betem v'lampo yerech. Okay, right? That's in Pasuk Kaf Bet. Okay? V'yirecho shabal ataomer. Okay, they say that term latzbo beten v'lam pel yerach is referring to the beten and the yarech of the boel. Interesting. So now the brayta continues. Ataomer bitnov yirecho shel boel o inoela bitnov yirecho shel nivela. Right? Why are you assuming that it's the boel and it's not talking about her? What does he say? Very simply, okay? It's the same thing about this repetition. If you look in Pasuk of Zion, it says, she drinks the water, right? And if she's guilty, the waters come into her. And Savta Bitnav Nafla Yerecha. Now notice that clearly is referring to her because it's in the feminine. And if you look back at Pasuk Kaf Bet, where it says, okay, first of all, it says b'me'ayich, into your insides, but then it says it in a way that's not feminine, right? It says, in order to make a stomach explode and a yerach, fall. So they say, why the repetition? Now again, you can explain the repetition. There it's talking about the Shvua, and there it's talking about it actually happens. But they say, no, there's repetition to tell you that one is referring to him and one is referring to her. Okay, and obviously the one that's not in the feminine form is going to be the one that's referring to him. And that's where Rebbe learns it from. Okay, so now we're going to have a little back and forth. If this one doesn't learn it, right, so what does he do? So remember, Rabbi Akiva learns it from Uvau, the Vavs. And Rebbe learns it from the last book, Besen V'lam Pel Yerech. So now they say, V'idach, ha'hu, de'mode la'kohen, de'beten b'resha, v'hadar yerech, shalo lo'hutzilaz al hamayim hamarim. So what does Rabbi Akiva do with that pasuk? He says, no, that needs to be there, so the Kohen is telling her, by the way, if you remember, in Pasuk Kafal, if we saw this before, the order is different. The order is, right, the Kohen's mashpia, and he says to her, you'll be an alan eshvua betoch hamech. The God is going to make your yerech fall, your calves fall, and your thighs fall, and your stomach explode. So now, first he says thighs, and then he says stomach. Why is that? Because we said that the thighs were really where the avirah happened, and that's why that's going to be the first thing they're going to mention. But when it actually happens, the water goes in your body, and first it hits your beten, and your beten's going to actually explode first. So the next pasuk is telling you that when the water goes in, it's going to make your stomach explode first, and then your thighs. So that you don't say, oh, look, the effects are different from what the Kohen said. Obviously, it's not working, or it didn't work the way they said, and therefore, this doesn't show anything. So therefore, that's why you need that pasuk, according to Rabbi Akiva, to prove that. So that she knows that she's not going to be motzilaz, or other people won't be motzilaz, and say bad things about this mayim hamarim, say it's not really working properly. V'idach, what about Rebbe? Where does he learn that from then? If he needs lafa beza v'lampi yerech to say that it's the man, and he can't have it say the order, what does he do? Im kein lichtof kra bitna v'yerecha. It should have said then, her beten, this is what I said before, right? It's not in the feminine, and her yerech. My beten v'yerech, shmamina laboel. Okay, so because it says it not in the feminine, therefore it teaches you it's for the boel. Ve'ema kule lahachi huda'ata. So maybe that's all it's coming to tell you, just that it's his and not. And what Rebbe's saying is you can learn both, right? So they say, why? Maybe you should only learn one, that it's for him also, that it's for him and not for her. And then it doesn't teach you anything about the motzilaz on the mind. So ve'ema kule lahachi huda'ata. So therefore they say, im kein lichto bitno v'yirecho, my beten v'yerech shma minatarte. It should have said then his beten and his yerach. And because it says it in neutral. Because it says it neutral, not feminine, not masculine, it's teaching you both. It refers to him, and also it's teaching you about the order. This is obviously all in the game of drashot, right? You can prove things in many different ways also. But what's interesting about this whole thing is that in the end, they say that both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi agree about everything. It's just a matter of where they learn from in the Pesukim, right? Sometimes, right, because we don't, what's going on here methodologically is that we don't know anything about Rabbi. This is all conjecture, right? It's saying if Rabbi doesn't darshan vavim, then how does he get the boel? It could be Rabbi doesn't hold it, the boel gets punished, but that's not, right? The Gemara doesn't think that that's the case, and therefore they try to fit him in and they try to figure out where he can get this from also. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Kach haya Doresh Zachariah. Remember this, Zachariah ben Akatzav? He was Doresh, like Rabbi Akiva, that it's Nitma'a v'Nitma'a. Okay, that it teaches you Kshem Shasra Labal, Kach Shasra Laboel, from the Vavs. He was Darshan the Vavim, and then Rabbi came and said, no, 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 it's from the two times the word appears. Tanu Rabbanan, Shalosh Pa'amim Hamurim B'Parsha, Im Nitma'a v'Nitma'a v'Nitma'a Lama. Okay, now they want to know, why does it say, okay, they're going to say, Lama, Echad Laba, Echad Laboa, Echad Litruma, Divrei Rebbe. He's going to say, okay, now he's working on the Pesukim, let me just clarify exactly which Pesukim, because like I said, these appear a bunch of times. Okay, the first one is in Kav Zayin, okay, okay, this is at the end, right? It's telling you, if she's guilty, then the waters will come into her. That's the first. The second is in Pasuk Yudalid, okay, where it says, v'hi lo nitma'a, right? If he is jealous of his wife, and ruach kina'a and kina'a tisho, v'hi lo nitma'a, right? And she's not really guilty. Okay, that's one option. And then the third case they're talking about is in Kaptet. Zo torata knaot asher tistei isha tachad isha v'nitma'a. Okay, so now they're going to say these three times, lama. So they say, echad laba'al. One is talking about the husband. Echad laboel. Okay, one is saying she is nitma'a to her husband, that she's asura to him. The second is to say she's asura to the boel, to the guy she slept with, or was suspected, actually, of sleeping with, important to say. Ve'echad l'truma. Once she's forbidden to her husband, now she's no longer allowed to eat truma. Now, this is whether she's a bat kohen and she wants to eat from her father's truma, she can't. And if she's married to a kohen, she can't eat from her husband's truma at this point. Once she becomes forbidden to her husband, she can no longer eat truma in his house. So that's what the three times are coming to tell you. Divrei Rabbi. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. My mistake. Rabbi Akiva says this. Okay? This is Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Now we're going to have a very strange continuation because Rabbi Yishmael is going to say something against Rabbi Akiva that doesn't relate to anything Rabbi Akiva said. Okay? The Gemara is going to relate to this at the very end of today's daf. Amar Rabbi Yishmael, Kavachomer. What you said, okay, now he didn't say this, but what you said about the fact that she cannot marry a Kohen, okay, that she's forbidden to marry a Kohen right now, when she's in this usher status with her husband until it's proven whether she was Mazner or not. And let's say the husband divorces her. Let's say she never drinks the water, the husband divorces her. She wants to marry a Kohen, she's not allowed. Because at this point, she's Safek Zona, right? And a Kohen can't marry a Zona, so she's also a Safek Zona and she can't get married. So he, according to this, it was as if Rabbi Akiva Darshan, that one of the Nitma'as was to tell you that she's Asura Kohen. She can't marry a Kohen. So even though Rabbi Akiva didn't say this, okay, but I'm a Rabbi Yishmael, you don't need a drasha for this. You don't need a pasuk for this. Why? Because it's a Kal Vachomer. What's the Kal Vachomer? Uma grusha shemuteret l'truma Asura Kohen. A grusha who's from a family of Kohanim, she gets divorced from her husband. She goes back to her father's house and she can eat truma. So if she can eat truma, and yet she's asura l'keuna, so zosha asura b'shruma, you know, din shasura l'keuna, right? So if this woman is forbidden to eat truma, then obviously she's also going to be forbidden to marry a kohen. If the grusha is allowed to eat truma, can't marry a kohen, obviously this woman who's not allowed to eat truma can't marry a kohen. So now, Matamud Lamar, now they're going to have other drush out of this. Now they're going to say, if you look at the first two psukim, or the second and third psukim in the parsha, Yud Gimel. Okay, it says, so if, right, Kitistei Shoma Labomal, Pasuk Yud Gimel, and a man sleeps with her, and her husband doesn't know, and she goes into hiding with him, Vihi Nitma'a, and she is Nitma'a, right, and Eidem Ba, okay, And then it says, or the other option is that v'avar alav ruach kina b'kinei tishov b'chi nitma'a, or also this nitma'a. Okay, so now what happens? He's jealous of his wife. Either she's guilty, right? Oh, avar alav ruach kina b'kinei tishov b'chi lo nitma'a, right? Or she's not guilty. So now they're going to ask a bit of a strange question, because we all know that there's facts on the ground that she's either guilty or she's not guilty, but we don't know them. And the whole idea of the sota is to figure out what really the facts are. But now the Gemara is going to say, "Ma tamu lomar v'hi nitma'a v'hi lo nitma'a." It sounds like it's definitive. Either she's nitma'a or she wasn't nitma'a. Im nitma'a, lama shota? V'im lo nitma'a, lama mashka? If she's guilty, then why would she drink the waters, right? She shouldn't be drinking the waters because she should be guilty and she should admit her guilt. And if she wasn't nitma'a, then why should he be mashke'uta? She's not guilty. So they're saying, magilacha katuv. Now obviously, the point is we don't know, and that's what they're going to say here. In other words, they're kind of asking a question that we know the answer to. In other words, yes, it's true, there's facts on the ground. She's either guilty or not guilty, and therefore she shouldn't ever be drinking the waters, because either it's clear she's innocent or it's clear she's guilty. But the point is, we don't know anything, and it's a suffix. And that's the chidush of the sota. And now we're going to learn from this. If you remember, a very famous thing, okay? We're going to get to it very soon. We said that we're going to learn out one very interesting halacha from Sota. Do you remember? It has to do with Tuma. Safek Tuma. Let's go. Bereshit HaYachid is, remembers, if you have a Safek Tuma situation in Bereshit HaYachid or Bereshit HaRabim, which one is Tameh, which one is Tahor? What did you say?
Asura.
Bereshit HaYachid, it's Tameh. And Bereshit HaYachid, Bereshit HaRabim, it's Tahor. Okay, this is going to be learned out from the Sota. So now they're going to say, we're going to get to it only a little further on, but I wanted to remind you of this. Magid lecha katuv shasafek asura. Why are they telling you this? Either she's nitma or she's not nitma, seemingly sounding like it's definitive. Oh, because it's not, because we don't know which one. And because she's misafek, she becomes forbidden to her husband. That's the chidush of the Sota. We have a safek situation, and yet we're going to forbid her. So now, mikan atadan l'sheretz. From here we can learn to a sheretz, because a sheretz is a tuma, right? You have a dead insect, one of the shretzim, or a creature, right? A dead, creepy, crawly creature. Mikan atadan l'sheretz. Umas sota, shelo asaba shogei kimezid, ve'ones kiratzon. And yet, asaba safe kevadai. Okay, what are these things? If you're... You did this b'shogeg, okay? You didn't know it was forbidden to you, or you didn't know this man, I don't know, you didn't know, I don't know what shogeg, I guess it would be you didn't know it was forbidden to you at all to sleep with somebody else. So, and ones is if you were raped, right? So in any of these situations, you would not become a sota, okay? And yet, your safek is a vadai. In other words, your shogeg is not like mezid, and your ones is not like ratzon, okay? If you did it, but you were forced into it. It's not like if you did it willingly. But a sheretz, let's say you were matami to a sheretz and you didn't know it was forbidden to be matami. You didn't know that that would be matami you. You had no idea. That was shogeg. Guess what? You're tame anyway, right? The sheretz touches you, you're tame, or it goes into your kli or whatever it is. So sheretz ha'sabo shogeg kimezid ve'ones kiratzon. If somebody threw it on you and forced it upon you, forced you to become tame, you would be tameh anyway. It would be as if you did it kiratzon, out of your own free will. So therefore, ein odin sheyasebo safek kevadai. So now, what are you going to say? A safek sheretz is going to be vadai. And we learn that from the Sota. Okay, we're still not up to our Rishud Yechid, Rishud Arabim. We're going to get there in a minute. But the first thing they're saying is, a sheretz, we're going to learn that from Sota, since sheretz has a more chamor halacha when it comes to shogeg and ones, than the sota, and yet the sota safek is considered vadai, she's usher to her husband, therefore we're going to say that the sheretz is considered, must be also a safek sheretz. You don't know whether the sheretz touched it or not, we're going to assume it's tameh. But now they're going to say, but wait, only umimakom shabata. What does this mean, umimakom shabata? If we're learning it out from the Sota, then only things that are like the Sota. In other words, go back to Makom Shabbata. Where did this drasha come from? It came from the Sota. Mas Sota Rishut HaYachid. Just like the Sota, where is she Tmei'ah? Only if it was Safek that she was
private student.
Because she was definitely in a private home with this man without anybody seeing. That's Rishut HaYachid. So because it happened in the Rishut HaYachid, Av Sheretz Rishut HaYachid. Therefore, the only place where the Sheretz is going to become Tameh is going, the Safek Sheretz Tameh is only in the Rishut HaYachid, just like the Sota. We saw this before, but we didn't see it developed as well as it's developed here. More things that we're going to say are only like the Sota. Uma Sota Davar Sheyesh Bo Da'at Lishael. Av Sheretz Davar Sheyesh Bo Da'at Lishael. What's unique about the Sota? We can actually ask her and get the answer. Now, she might not give us the answer, but there's a human being there. Okay? And a human being who has knowledge, right? She's got her faculties in order. So therefore, we're going to say that a Sheretz is only Tameh when it comes in contact or someone, there was a person who had knowledge and was knowledgeable as opposed to a katan, a shote, a cheresh, right? All our categories of people that are excluded, or an animal, okay? If it had to do with an animal, dropped a sheret somewhere, we don't know, did it touch, did it not touch? If it didn't have to do with a human being who had knowledge, then it's not going to be tameh.
What if someone's asleep?
Even if someone's asleep, first of all, Adam Muad La'olam, okay, this famous Mishnah, Adam Muad La'olam, Bein Er, Bein Shogeg, Bein Onis, Bein, all these words, Shogeg Kemezid, Onis Keratzon, and Bein Er, Bein Yashen. Okay, then there's a bit of a distinction about, depending on how, was it there before he was sleeping or not? It's a good question. Maybe you could say,
maybe if somebody woke up and there was a sheret in the room.
Right, and you don't know what happened.
There's no way, I mean.
Yes. Well, I think it has to be that a human being somehow was in contact. In other words,
do you know whether it crawled over your hand while you were asleep, you know?
Right. I don't know if that would be considered a human being with it. It's a good question. I don't know the answer. Umikan amru, davar sheyesh bo da'at lishael, bereshut hayachid, sveiko tameh. Okay, so that's when a safek tumah is tameh. If he has bo da'at lishael, and it happened in reshut hayachid. But bereshut harabim, sveiko tahor, v'she'en bo da'at lishael, bein bereshut hayachid, bein bereshut harabim, sveiko tahor. Okay, if he doesn't have knowledge to ask him, then, right, even in reshut hayachid, even in reshut harabim, the safek would be tahor. Okay, now we're going to ask, I think we'll just kind of ask the question and then we'll leave it here because we're at the end of the daf. Rabbi Ishmael, I'm a Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Ishmael, okay, now they're going to ask him, Rabbi Ishmael, Amar Rabbi Akiva Truma, Umahadra Le'iu Kehuna. Rabbi Akiva said, she's Asur Le'i Truma. And Rabbi Ishmael answered him back, right, questioned him about the Kehuna issue, which Rabbi Akiva never said. Okay, v'tu l'Rabbi Akiva kahuna menale. Okay, and also, where does he learn that she's asura to marry a kohen? In other words, he said there's three b'nitma, and one learns. You know, we learn one for the boel, one for the baal, and one for the truma. Where does he learn out the issue that she can't marry a kohen from? Okay, because the assumption is that he did learn it out, and that's why Rabbi Ishmael is attacking him, but also he didn't even say anything, and how could Rabbi Ishmael be attacking him on something he didn't even say? Okay, we'll stop for here for today, and we'll get to a better understanding of that tomorrow.